We're to learn today, Hilchos Shuvah. We'll see how far we get. But we'll learn today, we'll begin together, Hilchos Shuvah, the Rambam, Perek Beis. Perek Aleph is something that I think we've learned together probably a few times, several times over the past bunch of years. We never really get to the second Perek, right? Really? And there's how many chapters there in Hilchos Shuvah? Anyone know? 10, corresponding to every single day of Aser Shmei Tshuva. There are those that have the minhag, right? Those are the custom that every day of Aser Shmei Tshuva, you learn another perek, another chapter of the Rambam's Sefer on Tshuva, right? So he writes here, let's begin together. What is Tshuva Gemur? The first chapter just begins and tells us about what you need to do Tshuva for, what Yom Kippur accomplishes on his own. Yom Kippur has a special power. There's a power of Yom Kippur that helps effect tshuva and kapara. That's a given on its own. But now, second parak now just gets into more details. Ezohi tshuva gemura. What is complete and utter tshuva? Now what is that? Zeh shebal yado davar sha'avar bo. This is somebody is having a very tough time with eating kosher. So they're having a very tough time with eating kosher. And every single time they, why? Because they remember, they used to when they were a kid, they always had, certain type of gum. Chiclets. Oh, it's funny. There's a Rabbi Fran story with chiclets. Okay, I'll tell you in a second. Chiclets. And they had a tough time. And then they became Baal Tshuva. Now they still remember in yesteryear chiclets. And every single time they're at the checkout counter in the supermarket, they pass by the chiclets. And they have a hard time. They have a hard time with the chiclets. They take them. And sometimes, unfortunately, they don't pass that test. They mess up. And they take the chiclets. Right? So what's Tshuva Gemura? Zeh shebal yado davar sha'avar bo. It comes, the opportunity to violate this Aveira comes to you, meaning you're in the store and you pass by the chiclets. Efshar biyado lasoso. And hey, the credit card's in your pocket and you can buy them on your own. Upiresh velo asa mibnei tshuva. And you separate, you don't take them, you don't purchase them, you don't eat them. And you do tshuva. That is tshuva gemura. Tshuva gemura is that the opportunity is there, and you pass that test. V'lo miyira, v'lo mikishlon koach. Now listen to this. He says it's not out of fear, right? First of all, you can say that somebody who's having a challenge in this, what should they do? Don't shop in ShopRite, right? Go to any of the local kosher Jewish markets. Right? Well, I think it's in every aisle when you go to the checkout counter, right? It's there. So, right? They get you. The Reese's people, again. So they get you. So you could argue that maybe somebody like this shouldn't go to this store. Maybe that's what the person was doing until they're ready to pass this test. So they don't do it because they're afraid they're going to get a patch. And they don't do it because they're weak, meaning they're lazy. Like, I'm not in the mood right now. They want it, and they're saying, no. Ketzar. Now, the Rambam gives a very, a much more illicit and stronger example. Yes?
Even if 6 months from now they revert back to their old ways, is it still considered for those 6 months that it was good?
Yeah.
He's okay?
100%. 100%.
Because people have a tendency, no matter how good they are, 100%. To revert back.
The temptation is not there, Rabbi, then he doesn't get credit for it.
You know what? I'll tell you an example. So I mentioned over at the Shabbat Shubha Drasha that I had the opportunity to spend 3 days in Georgia. It was an OU rabbis conference this past April, where Moshe Weinberger was the scholar residence, and we had a lot of different rabbanim from across the country that were there. Where Moshe Weinberger shared with us something really, really unbelievable. He shared with us that he has dozens of people that text him through WhatsApp every single day. And all they text him is a number. 25, 26, 27. So what is this? One of the biggest machalas in our generation is pornography. One of the biggest machalas in the generation is pornography. And you're going to look at me and say, Rabbi, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you the numbers are very, very strong. 97% of all adolescent boys, meaning this is not Jew, non-Jew, no. All 97%, okay? High number. See pornography before they're 18 years old. Okay?
Including all religions, you say, 97.
There's no distinction here. Across the board. Okay? Because this has everything in it, and you bring it into your house. So sometimes, innocent children who don't even have this on their mind, search something. Oh, wow, what's this? This is a pop-up, right? On the side of my YouTube, I'm looking for a shear. I'm looking to look at a shear. And this, bam, and you, I'm curious, right? Everyone is curious. Curiosity is a good meter to have. And it happens. Girls are not, it's much less with girls, but the percentage is very, very high as well with girls. And it's a very big problem. You have people learning in Batei Medrash. You have people that are teachers. You have people that are now adults and have families that struggle with this mightily. And obviously the extreme scenarios is where they can't function and they can't leave their home and they're literally addicted. And you have people on all different levels struggling with this behind closed doors.
So that's an addiction.
So 100%. Moshe Weinberger is mechazik them, and he gets text messages from people, right? How many days in a row? 25, 26, 27, right? Further and further and further. And he gives them a chizuk every single time. Doing great. I'm so proud of you. Doing great. You're awesome. And he doesn't hear from them one day. And then the next day, it's one. Mm. Right? And it's one. And he goes, you're awesome. You can do it. You're great. Right? That's Shuvah Gemurah. But the person for the first 28 days, the first 344, right? They say someone that's a cigarette smoker who's addicted to cigarettes, they can't go back. They can't 5 years later say, no, it's a simcha. Let me have a cigarette. No. Because if they just have one, the same is true with the alcoholic. They can't do it ever again. They're done. They're wired in a certain way. It's their brain is wired in a certain way. If they have that one, they won't be able to control it. You can control this, right? So this is a very, very serious thing.
What's the percentage in the home community?
Same number.
97?
Speak
all over.
Speak to your high school teachers. Speak to them. Okay? Speak to them.
Speak to your grandchildren.
You can. I'm not sure how the conversation is going to go. But speak to your teachers. Okay? And if they are honest with you, and I assume they will be, the ones definitely locally will be honest, that it is a major, major machla that people are fighting. With, obviously, it goes that saying, you need filters, right? Parents need to monitor. They can't leave their children, alone in their room with their phones. I once had a student that 90s across the board, the first semester. Second semester, this is not recent. Second semester, 60s, 70s. What's going on? Some boy, it was a seventh grade boy. Sometimes it's bar mitzvahs. It's a big issue because there's so much pressure for the bar mitzvahs. And when it comes out every Sunday, so what's going on? No, his bar mitzvah was like last year. Like he's young. He's older than the whole grade. I said, anything else changed in the house? He goes, yes. Something changed in the house. The grandmother moved into the house for whatever reason. So he moved to the basement. He moved to the basement. And the computer is right outside the basement. And because he moved to the basement, we got him his own iPad. Where's the iPad at night? I mean, he leaves it, he charges it in his room. Just check. This boy was watching movies, inappropriate movies, till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, every single morning, right? Parents who have these things let children who at a young age cannot, they don't have the kalim, the ability yet to control how much they use it. If parents irreverently let them and say, we trust you, it's not about trust. It's just that they can't. They just can't yet. They can't. So parents need to hold their hand with this. You can use it X amount of hours. When you come home, it charges here. We can look at it. We can read your texts. You know, because you're teaching them. This is another skill, again, that many of you are on the table did not have to teach your children, but this is a new skill that the parent of the 21st century needs to teach their child, right? Cell phone safety, cell phone usage, right? And then this is literally the world that we're living in, and it's very, very important. And, you know, good educators are aware of these things.
The best invention and the worst invention.
Right, right, 100%, 100%. There is more like... this computer is stronger than the computer that brought the first spaceship to land, that brought Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to the moon. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. But it's something that we need to be careful about. Serious. So
my children in the camps were not allowed to bring their cell phones.
Yeah, so
them.
Camps actually moved towards this. So I'll tell you right now. So schools
are doing that.
So high schools, 5-6 years ago, we're saying, use it, you know, because you need to learn how to use it in the future, when you're in the business world, when you're in college. So do whatever you want with it. Or use it during certain times. More and more schools are not allowing that because they can't control themselves. You can't blame them because it's literally the dopamine and all the levels, it's similar to addicts. And to gambling addicts, it's the same thing. Every single ping that you get, there's dopamine is released from your brain when that happens. So that is, it's very, very serious. So many, many schools, a lot of camps move towards this as well, towards not allowing it in camp at all. And it's healthier. We're looking to, I spoke about it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're looking into getting one of a locker outside. You can put the cell phone in your in that locker and get it charged. I have one sponsor. If you're interested, I probably need one more to ensure coverage for the entire thing. But it would be a big schuss. Yeah. So Ketzad, you don't. Again, I'm not. If someone needs the phone, I'm not saying. Everybody has to. I'm not going to wand every single person when they walk into shul. But the option should be there. The option should be there for people to do this, and it's making a statement of tefillah. But it's not. It's beyond that. It's beyond tefillah. Kate said, the Rambam says, what does it mean? What's in my example? The Rambam gives about tshuva gemur. Harei shabal isha bi'avera. Serious stuff. One was had an illicit relationship with a woman, ulacharzman, and then later on, nisyachet ima. He had yichud with her again. He was with her, and now he finds himself again with her. How that happens, I don't know. Right? How that happens, I don't know. Vehu omid ba'ava soba, and he is interested. He's interested. Ubikoach gufo medina shavar ba upiresh veloaver zet veloaver. He's interested and he stops himself and he doesn't do it. That is about tshuva gemura. Again, part of tshuva is to avoid situations like this. The Rambam is not saying everybody who wants to be a baal tshuva should for sure get themselves into a scenario where they failed and try to do it better next time. That's not a good idea. That's not a great idea. But if it happens, right, that is tshuva gemur. Does that mean they don't achieve tshuva gemur without that? Okay, that's for Hashem to know. Right, hu sheshlomo amar zechores baracha bimei bechores echa v'im lo shav elo bimeisik nuso u'b'eish she'ef sher lo lasos ma'a shehayo oseh af v'ish eino tshuva me'ula mo'eles hi lo uval tshuva hu. And the Rambam writes, let's say this doesn't happen. The situation never happens again in the person's life. How do we know? So the Rambam writes that he hasn't ended doing this until he gets much older. this person is still considered a Baal Tshuva, right? The person is considered a Baal Tshuva even if this situation doesn't come up, or it only comes up much, much later on in their life. Afilu avar kol yamav v'asa tshuva b'yom yisaso. Even if one went their entire life without doing tshuva, and in the day of death, right, at that moment, they did tshuva, umes b'tshuvaso, kol avonosav nimchalim.
Yeah, that's the all
of their sins are
forgiven.
Absolved. Shemar adesher lo techshach hashemesh va'or va'yireach v'kochavim. Meaning, until the lights go out. Until the lights go out, you still have time. Shu yom hamisa. Right? That's referring to until all the lights go out, the shemesh yireach. It's an analogy to our lives.
And since we don't know when that will happen, right?
Right.
Who knows when he's going to die?
Yeah.
Therefore, he does tshuva every day.
Right.
It's pirkovos.
Right, that's why some say there's a tefillah to say every single night before one goes to bed. You should say a tefillah, and part of that is tshuva. And part of that is some level of tshuva. Some have the minhag to do tshuva every single Shabbos. The word Shabbos and tshuva,
oh, yeah,
the same letters. Right?
But you said something about mor. Don't do it because if you have...
Because you're afraid you're going to get in trouble.
Why? Why can't you do it because of that?
You can. But tshuva gemura, he says, is to do it because I don't want to do it.
But I can also say I'm afraid...
I'm a different person.
If I do this, I'm going to get punished by Hashem.
Right. You're, part of it is you're doing it because I am a different person right now. I'm a completely different person. You know, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. We many of us probably heard of the well-known dictum that if we do tshuva, then our averos become mitzvos, right? So, you know, the person that taught us that, it's a memra, it's a statement in the Gemara. The person that taught us that statement in the Gemara is a man by the name of Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
He was abandoned.
Reish Lakish was not just a robber, he was like the godfather. He was the mafia boss, right? He was the Rosh HaGanavim, the Gemara says.
Yeah.
He was in charge of all the Ganavim. If you needed to... He was good looking, right? He was good looking, right? No, sorry, Rav Yochanan was good looking. So Reish Lakish was by the Kinneret, he's about to steal Rav Yochanan's things. Rav Yochanan was taking a dip in the Kinneret, and Rav Yochanan says, Chazor Becha, right? Do tshuva. And if you do, right, I will... you think I'm attractive.
My sister.
Got to be my sister. Right? She's the hero, heroine in this story. So, and he does this, and he ends up doing tshuva gemura. And him and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish become chavrusas. But what you see in this story is fascinating, is that Reish Lakish is the one that teaches us that that all of your averos become mitzvos. And again, don't try this at home, right? It's not like, oh, let's see how this works. That's not how we play this game, right? So there's a great story in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes that one of the Tanayim got kidnapped. One of the Tanayim got kidnapped. And again, this is a common Jewish theme throughout our history, that a Jew gets kidnapped, and then they ransom them for all this money, and the halacha really says not to take them back because... then they're going to ransom somebody else afterwards. So they wanted, what should we do? He's a great rabbi. They said, no, we can't ransom him. So Reish Lakish says, it's on me. It's on me. So what does it mean, it's on me? So Reish Lakish walks by himself into town to find the kidnappers. The Gemara writes that he does what he needs to do. And like these old Western movies, you know, coming back, you know, with the hat on and the shackles, with the maybe on riding on a horse, he comes back with Rav Yossi on his shoulders, right? I took care of them. We're never going to hear from them again. So what do you see from that story? What you see from that story is that Reish Lakish took all of these skills, quote unquote, that he learned in his former life. And now he was able to take all of those skills that were averos, right? And he used them all for positive. He used them all to save somebody's life. That's something his former self may not have done. He probably would have been on the other end of this. So he was the one, he's the ultimate Baal Tshuva. He's the one teaching us that your averos become tzichuyos. Right? He's the one that's able to teach us.
Was he allowed to do all that though?
What?
You don't know, did he kill them or could he allow
He
them
took to care of them. I don't know what that means. He took care of them. He took care of them. Everything, okay, good. Arkady said, everything that needs to be done. That's I like the, that's a good language, you know? And ultimately, the Rambam concludes in Halacha Beis by saying, meaning, sometimes a person is never going to be put in the same situation. We daven that we should not get tested. The failure people say with David HaMelech and Batsheva was that David davened to God to be tested. We never should do that. Right? We say every single morning, Lodi Deni Sayon, Veloi Devi Zayon. We don't want to be tested. So then the Rambam says, if I'm not tested, then how do I know if I'm... how do I know if I got 100? How do I know if I'm really... So Rambam says, no. Ultimately, V'yayir alav yodea talumo shelo yashuv lazeh achit la'olam. You should know, right? Hashem knows. Hashem knows if you changed, right? Don't put ourselves in this... If the chicklets is your problem, then don't, you know... If it's something worse... Don't put yourself back in the situation. Don't create the scenario for you. First of all, that's fake. That's not real. And secondly, we don't want to be put into a nisayon. We have enough. I'm sure all of us have enough nisyonos on our plate as well. We don't need to go ahead and create more. And ultimately, Hashem is the one that knows our inner recesses, knows how much we've changed, knows how much we've worked on ourselves. I wish everybody a Gmar Chasma Tova. It should be a great year. It should be a day. You should utilize the day of Yom Kippur for true introspection and true reflection and true growth. Have a great day.